So, it's Mother's Day, right? So, obviously, we're going to be talking about mothers, right? But we're going to throw, I'm going to throw some of this personal stuff in. So, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 5:16. And you guys all know that's where the Ten Commandments are. But 16 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor. You know, I had a hard time with this for honoring my parents before I was a Christian. One of the reasons was, were they honorable? I used to think that. You know, and it was before I knew God. I didn't have that respect for my parents, to be honest with you. My mom used to threaten me a lot of times saying that God's going to punish me. And I used to say back to her, well, he did. He gave you as my mom. Yeah. Yeah. This is before I knew God. So please understand this. Right? But it's so true because my dad was never around that much. My dad was a drill sergeant in the Army. And he was always out on maneuvers. Right? So he was constantly gone. So we didn't really know him. I didn't really know him and stuff. But what happens is when you don't, he was never around to get to know. And when he was always a drill sergeant to us. He was very demanding and wanted respect and everything else. But because he was never around, I didn't really want to give that to him. And my mom used to say, oh, you guys remember this. You're going to have to remember this. Wait till your father gets home. I tell you what, it was every day I heard that. And I used to think, so, what's he going to do, you know? And I was the youngest of four. I wasn't a spoiled brat because my dad made sure of that. He would put the belt to you if you thought you were in any kind of situation. And I think I've had talks with some people. I know what they went through because dad had, his belt was an Army belt. I don't know if you guys ever seen an Army belt, but they have these little metal holes in them to put canteens and stuff on at the time. And that would leave a mark on your butt. You'd have little rings on your butt. He would hit hard. But anyway, so he's coming home. Who cares? But then when he got home, it was like, oh my gosh, where can I hide? You know, I got to go hide somewhere because I'm going to be in big trouble because I was mouthing off to mom pretty good. But let me go back a little bit further. When I was born, I had a problem. It was called, I had a hole in my chest. And what it was is my ribs were, they weren't out like this. They were like this. So it was all caved in. It was broken. And my sternum, I think it's my sternum. I'm not a doctor. So, and I don't like that kind of stuff. So you're going to have to understand that. But they had to re-break. When I was three, they had to re-break my bones and put a metal brace in there to hold my chest open because my lungs couldn't expand. So my mom was always taking the kids to, they went to Catholic church, and I think God kept me from going to Catholic church by having this happen, because then I went into the hospital to have the operation done, so I didn't have to worry about going to church and the Catholic church too. So my brothers and sisters all did well. They all got baptized. I never did because I was going through this situation. And my dad didn't want me to have the operation. I don't know why, because I couldn't breathe after a while. I mean, it was really restricting my breathing. But my grandpa and my mom had it done. They made sure I got it done. So they had the operation done. So I was, for the first three, 4 years, when I was three until about four or five, I was in the hospital quite a bit having this operation done and making sure I was okay. Well, then we were in Texas, and we were in New York when that happened, and we moved to Texas. When I was in Texas, some kid was picking on my sister, and I kind of laid him out. So he threw a rock at me, and it caved the metal back in. Yeah, so I couldn't breathe again. So they take me to the hospital, and they took that brace out, and then I had to have this cast on for a while, and the ribs were everything was fixed. So everything's cool after that. Well, one of the things is, ever since then, my mom always told me, I wish you'd get baptized. And I'm like, whatever that is, I don't know what that is. Why do you get baptized? So anyway, mom, she just kept saying this. And I didn't really have a great relationship with my mom or dad, to be honest with you. I didn't, just didn't. It's just one of those things. But your mom says stuff to you that you do not forget, right? And God uses your mom to talk to you. So when you mothers think, oh, they're not listening, they're listening. Deep down inside, they're listening, they're hearing. I was very rebellious, and maybe it was because I wasn't around the family that much, I don't know, at first and stuff, but it was all good. So my dad, we were in Texas, and we moved to Louisiana for a little bit, and then he was in maneuvers doing things there and stuff, and then he took off, and they went to Vietnam. And when he went to Vietnam, we moved to New York, and we were there by my mom's brothers and her family all lived there, so we were closer to them. Well, when Dad got out of the military, one of the things that happened, he got out when he was in, his last tour was in Vietnam. When he got back, it was like overnight. He was there sitting on the couch, and us kids were sitting next to him going, who is this guy? You know, so we didn't really know him. So mom had to play both roles. She had to be the dad, and she had to be the mom. And it's hard for a woman to be both, to be honest with you. A woman is nurturing. A man is more, he can be more firm. We're not as sensitive. So when the kids cry, we're like, oh, get over it. Smack them on the butt and say, there's something to cry about, you know. Moms can't do that. I did look up something today that I was very disappointed in, and I looked it up about mothers. I read this thing, it's two women taking care of a kid, raising a kid. And it was saying how much better they are if that happens versus a man and a woman. But then I looked at who wrote this, and it was written by LGBTQ people, saying that it's more nurturing for them in that family setting, that they do better than they do in a, and that's not true. That's not true at all. And I'm not picking on a certain race or anything, but I do know, like, in the black community, there's only 15% of the United States population is black. But 60% of them are in jail. Of the jails are blacks, if that makes sense. I hope I'm saying that right. So that tells me that they don't have the father in their families as much as we do in the whites and other groups. And it's not being prejudiced, it's just a fact that they say like 60% of the families in the black communities don't have a father. The fathers don't hang around. And Pam and I were sitting on the porch today, just looking out, you know, just talking, and we noticed all the birds are together, two birds together. They get it. You know, they get it. You know, we as humans don't. We just don't get it. But we need to. So mom and dad are both important. That's my biggest thing. My mom, and I have proof of that because I saw how my mom tried to handle it. She could not handle my brother. He was 8 years older than I. She could not handle him. He was just out of control. My uncles always had to come deal with him. So there's a man coming back into the family having to deal with it because mom just couldn't do it. So anyway, as I was growing up, we did go to church once. I remember going to church once, but then after that, mom wouldn't bring me back. I guess I did some things wrong in the church. I don't know what happened. And, you know, something with the holy water, I did something with that. And then they were singing, and I stood up and kept singing. When they sat down to sing, I was like wanting to still sing, they said. And then mom said, you were just too difficult to take to church. So we quit going to church. And that was a good thing. I think I saved them because otherwise they'd all be Catholics, you know. I shouldn't be talking like that. I'm sorry about that. But everyone on our street where I grew up, after we moved to Colorado, after my dad retired, everybody, there was six houses on each side. I mean, the whole neighborhood. I mean, but I knew most of the people the first six houses up and stuff. Everybody went to church except for our family. My dad claimed to be an atheist, and my mom didn't fight him on it. She, because he ruled the house, you know. So we never went. Everybody took off and went. But I didn't go. But I did see some of the families, you know, I'd watch, you know, as a kid, you watch things. And later on, I started realizing I watched it, you know. But this one family, they went to church all the time, and they did a lot of things together. And they would, every Saturday night, the husband and wife would take off and go party. And come back at night, and they'd be fighting, arguing and yelling. And they're always arguing and yelling. But this one other couple never did that. They were always quiet, and she was always respectful. And when those kids were outside playing and stuff, she was always sitting on the porch watching us, making sure everybody was doing good. And I realized that she was the Christian. She walked the talk, you know. And the other couple, even though they went to church, they didn't really respond that way. So there's one thing, I watched that happen. So Mom, through all this stuff, just kept saying, you need to be baptized. I wish you would have got baptized. I wish you would have got baptized. So moving forward, I'm at this friend of mine's house and a bunch of us guys that I grew up with in high school, and we're just kind of hanging out and partying a little bit, you know, having a few beers, you know, just talking and listening to music. And one of the guys goes, okay, everybody out of the house. Get out of here. Get out. I got to go to church in the morning. And I go, oh, really? What church do you go to? He goes, I go to a Catholic church. I go, oh, yeah. My mom wanted me to be baptized. He goes, yeah, I'll pick you up in the morning. I said, no, you won't, because I'm not going to church. You know, that's not what I do. So anyway, he lived right next door to me in an apartment. Go figure. So in the morning, he knocks on the door and says, you want to go to breakfast? And I'm sure we go to breakfast. Well, we go to this church that they have a restaurant in there. He conned me, yeah. He conned me, yeah. So I go to this church, and it's a Catholic church, which was another thing. And then the Catholic priest, as he's up there, and he goes, hey, we have this guy that's never been in church before. This guy named Dennis. And I'm sitting with this friend of mine, Mike, and I'm like, wow, there's another guy here named Dennis that hasn't been to church. He has me come up to him, and I go up there in front of everybody in the congregation, and he tells everybody this. And then I go sit down. He gives me a little Bible thing, and I go sit down, and then we go to eat. And I think, okay, Mike, you are in so big a trouble. We get into this restaurant. Well, here comes the priest out and sits at our table. So he starts telling me, we're going to meet. I'm like, I'm not going to meet with you. You're a priest, you know. But anyway, we wind up sitting down every Thursday night for a while until I got to know who God was. So I went to get baptized. God found me. He already knew me. He wanted me. In that, a mom thought, Dennis is never going to get saved, I bet, you know. Or, you know, all she kept doing was saying, I want you to get baptized. And I took that. And God used it to get me baptized with him. So that's the cool thing about it. But the one thing I want to tell you is, whenever you're talking to your kids, they're listening. Kids are listening to the moms. And we think that they're falling on deaf ears, but they're not. I can tell you that. And you have to keep saying what you need to say as moms to your kids, even as they're older. I know our daughter, it took her a while to get it, but she got it. And I know some people sitting out there thinking, my kids are never going to get it. You got to keep praying for them. We have a son that doesn't talk to us right now. So we pray for him. Sorry. I wasn't going to do this. It just happens, yeah. Doesn't just happen. But anyway, we pray for him that he finds God, but we also pray for him that he would be broken safely. We pray that he has a person come near him that knows the Word of God, that can preach to him the true Word of God. That's what we need, and that's what we pray for him for. So that's... You can't let your kids go. We did that for our daughter. Our daughter was actually drinking quite a bit, and we were afraid for her, and we prayed the same way, and she got hung up on a parking block in a parking lot, and the cops got her, and she got a DUI. And I remember her calling us in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, saying, "Hey, Dad, you got to come get me. I'm in jail. I had a DUI." And I go, "Well, hand the phone to the sheriff." She hands it to him, and I go, "Where you at?" And he goes, "We're in Douglas County." I go, "What happened?" And he goes, "I don't know. She had a DUI. She was drunk. They got her in." I said, "Well, you can keep her." And hung up the phone. That was the best thing she said ever happened to her. When she woke up about 11:30 in the morning, before noon, she asked the sheriff, "Is my dad coming to get me?" He goes, "No." He said, "We can keep you." And she goes, "Yeah, that's my dad." Yeah, he would said he'd always do that. Well, the thing about that is, she sat there thinking, "Did I kill somebody?" This whole time, she thought she did. Changed her life. She doesn't drink anymore. Praise God. You know? So some of the things we do when we do them for our kids is very important. And you mothers are very, very important. And Titus 2, 3 through 5. And fellowship is good with women too. When you get the younger women in, you need to be talking to them. And that's what this talks about. Titus 2, 3 says, "The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient in their own husbands, to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." That is so cool to hear and to see women like that. And there's a lot of women in this church I see. Wow. I did have a situation once too. We were talking to somebody, and it was somebody we know, no one that comes to church here. And we were talking about Christ and stuff, and she says, and God, and she says, "You know, I believe that God lets you pick your parents before you're born." You know, and this is how people get. They make up these things in their heads. And it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that. And it wouldn't make any sense if you think about it. I mean, I thought about it, and I said, "That doesn't make any sense, because I would never pick my parents." And she goes, "Well, that's mean." I'm like, "But that's true. I would have never picked my parents. I would have picked the Cleavers. I'd have picked Andy, you know, Andy Griffin, you know, somebody that I would have never picked my parents." That's so funny. I'm like, "That doesn't work out very good." And she thought that was mean. But that doesn't make any sense. So that's why we have to know what the Word of God says. And you can tell them that doesn't say it. Philippians 4:8. This is one thing I love. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." These are the things you want to meditate on, especially as a mother and a father. I know we're mostly talking about mothers, but fathers could be included in this, because this is very, very important. We got to show our kids who He is. And I was reading a thing the other day, and it says if the parents can't do it, that's what the grandparents are for. We're to preach that word to them. We're to teach them those words. We're to show them who Christ is if the parents can't do that. And a lot of people will take their kids here to church, drop them off, and leave and say, "Here you go, teach my kids." My sister did that to her kids. But it backfired on her, because then the kids would go back and say, "Mom, they say you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be drinking that. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be using those words. You shouldn't be doing this." So, and then she quit having them go to church, because that was too much for her. It's funny, because life has a way of passing by like a blur. And then next thing you know, your kids are grown and gone. But to me, they're never gone. They're always there. We can always talk to them. And as they get old, it's funny, because as the kids are growing up, it's like you couldn't do nothing wrong at first. until our son hit like 12, 13. Then all of a sudden, I must have flunked high school and everything else. Didn't know a thing. Our daughter, I think, was more like 9. I think she hit that, you know, she thought she was 13, but she was 9. But all of a sudden, you don't know anything. And then as they get older, you get smarter. They get into 20s, they get into their 20s, even into their 30s, now all of a sudden they're asking you for everything. You all of a sudden have all the answers. And we don't, but God does, and we could just get into the book and read with them and talk to them. But James tells us that life is but a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it is gone. See, we want to be there all the time, and you might not have that chance today. You know, I know lots of people have had that where their loved one left and then they were killed in a car wreck or something happened that day. You never know when your time is up. You don't ever know when their time is up. I know Pam's mom, she's lost 2 kids out of 9. And one was on Thanksgiving Day and she was only 32. Her brother, Christmas Day. I was like, really? Pick a different holiday. You know, quit picking the holidays. But that's what happens, you know. But he was 59. He died in his shower. So you just never know when your kids are going to go. So you got to keep close to them. Got to keep talking to them. Got to let them know who God is. So even though you're a mother or you're a dad and you don't know if your kids are understanding you or knowing you, I'm standing here saying they do. They hear you. It doesn't, God's word does not fall void, and I also believe a child listens to the mother regardless how rebellion they get. I know on my side it's that way. So don't give up on them. Knowing how short life is, we should make our choices wisely when it comes to those things we do, the things we know that we hold on to and the things we let go of. It's very important. And as mothers, you show a good example. We're watching you. I can tell you that. We're watching you. And one thing, when I was talking about honor, it was hard for me to find something to honor my mom and dad with. But I remember hearing something that really helped me, is you don't have to find a lot of things to honor them with. You just have to honor God, and God will show you how to honor them. And that's what happened with me. I learned how to honor my mom and dad. And my one sister lives in Oregon. My brother didn't want anything to do with my parents. And I had a sister, Hazel, that did. And in 2009, my mom kept falling. And the doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with her. And turns out, my sister and I did, we found out that she wasn't eating, so she was getting dehydrated and she would pass out. Well, then Dad was trying, he was saying, oh, she's doing fine, I'm giving her Sprite. I'm like, well, Sprite's really not water, for one thing, and you got to give her food, that would help too. And he didn't want to do that because she did the cooking, and then she didn't want to cook, and so she got like, she had dementia, which is different than Alzheimer's, but it was a slight case of it at the time. Well, Dad goes to help her up when she fell one time by a coffee table, and then he fell, and then he broke a vertebrae, so he couldn't move. So both of them wound up in the hospital the same day. So I had to take away from work. We had a business. Pam and I had a business. We had a shop and towing, and we had 27 employees, and everybody's doing everything, and it was 24 hours towing with police departments and stuff, so we had to keep it going. And I couldn't be there, so I relied on my people. And in doing this, my sister had gotten breast cancer. My brother-in-law, her husband, got leukemia. So they're both getting all these treatments, and my mom and dad are in a rehab place now. After Dad had surgery on his back, kind of like did this weird surgery where they put something in to fix his vertebrae, and then Mom, they put her in this rehab, and she had to get to a certain level. She didn't want to go back to the house, so we had to find a place for them. So we found this place at Lowry, and we put Mom in there, and Dad says, well, I'm not moving there. And I said, okay, that's fine, but you get to pay for the house and the apartment And he's like, okay, well, I can't do that, so I'll move in with her, I guess. And okay, well, good. Well, during all this time doing this, you know, we're still here for the church. We're still, I still had my business and stuff I had to deal with every once in a while. But at the time that that was all happening, we lost our pastor. We were having problems with our pastor. We're trying to discipline him and deal with him. So all this stuff is going on, and people are coming up to you and stuff. But I still respected God and listened to God, and he said, you got that. He had that. I just relied on him. That's all we have to do is rely on him. And I relied on him through this whole thing. But then when I went to the shop to see how everything is going after Mom and Dad got taken care of, well, what happens is the guy embezzled a bunch of money, or I don't know, he didn't pay our federal taxes. So my first day back, the IRS goes, we need to talk to you about no payroll taxes being paid in the last 3 months. So, more stuff. But to me, God had it. And I didn't have to work at it, to be honest with you. Taking care of my mom and my sister and my brother-in-law and my dad and moving them out and the business and the church, it was like nothing because I was relying on God. When those things happen, that's when a lot of people say, I don't want to, I got to do it. But I really learned to say, it's yours, Lord. You have to take this. And that's with motherhood. Sometimes when the kids get so hard, you got to rely on him. He'll take care of it. He's got you. So it was hard to honor my mom and dad for me as a non-Christian, but not as a Christian. As a Christian, it's easy to honor your mother and father. It is easy. You just got to let God show you how to do that. And sometimes we talk about it in the board meetings that we have. It's hard to do things when people want to do something in the church or help do something and you're fighting and struggling with it and everything. You got to let go because it isn't a joy. When God's doing something, he gives you joy in it. He takes the stress away. It isn't hard to do. It's easy. You know, it's there's no weight to it. You know, I remember watching these guys do the, having pastors come up every week before we got Bill and Heidi, and every week we had to have a different one. And it was like, it was easy for them. And watching them work, it was so, such a blessing from God to watch things work. And when people, I've seen other programs in the church try to get going, and it just, they fight and they're arguing and they're not going very well and it doesn't work. That's because God's not involved. You have to put God first. And if God's first, it's not hard. It's easy. So those are my personal experiences as a son and as somebody in this church, trusting in God. I trusted in God. And that's the only thing we can do is trust in him. He's got this. And it's nothing new under the sun. God knows what he's doing. He really does. And I always think of God, and Bill, he likes to play with that little clay doll or the dirt man or whatever, you know, and you can squash it any minute. I always think of God doing that. Dennis, you're not getting it. We're done. We're going to get a new dirt pile here. And I have to look at that and go, you know, I can't, I have to trust in him. If I trust in him, everything goes smooth. So my point of all this is Mom kept reminding me that I needed to be baptized. Not only does it ring a bell from her, but it also tells me with Christ, I have to be baptized in him. It's God that saves, only Jesus. And Jesus says one thing. He says, the only way to the Father is through me. And that is so important. It is so, so important. And you got to remember that. If it wasn't for my mom, wouldn't be here. She kept saying that. And I kept hearing it. So when you leave, you need to hear things. You need to keep them going in your head. I got to keep reminding myself. Renewing your mind. You got to renew your mind. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. And I love hearing those thoughts. And when I hear scripture said, I try to remind myself what it says. I'm not the best at it, though. Pam has a really good way in Wanza because they hear the songs, and they know in these songs they can hear that scripture. And when we're doing our Bible study, she's always, oh, I know what that scripture is. I'm like, well, whatever. I'm trying to remember it a different way. She has a good way of doing it. So I don't have my glasses on, so I don't know what time it is, but that's okay. So the one thing I want to say is just mothers, we are thankful for you. I know your kids love you. I know that regardless what you think, they are hearing your words. You know, they know what they're doing. They hear you and they love you. And we are so, a family unit is so important, and the mother is 100% important in that situation. So with that, let's pray. Dear God, I just want to say thank you for the mothers that are here today. I see the smiles out there, and I'm so thankful that you created a family unit the way you did. A mother is very important, Lord. I am so thankful for everything you provide. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the people that are in it, Lord. That's what the most thankful for is the people that are in it, Lord. This is our family. And when I come here, I just feel such a difference of relief and joy, Lord, to see the faces and the people in this church. So happy for the things that happen in this church, Lord. So happy for the people that come. So joyous for that, Lord. I'm joyous for my mom and dad, for what I saw in them. And I just pray that they made it to you. I know that I'm praying for my son and my daughter, and you know this, Lord. And as people are sitting out there, and if they haven't found you, Lord, the one thing I ask is they just sit there quietly. They don't have to get up here and come up at the altar and say anything. They could just sit there in their seat and just say, Lord, I know you died for me. You went to the cross for me and me alone. You know my sins, Lord. You know all the sins in the world, Lord. And you took them all upon you, regardless if they were going to accept you or not, Lord. But at this point, I just ask whoever sitting in there would just say, Lord, I accept you. I ask for forgiveness for my sins, and I just want to get to know you. And as you're sitting there, just take him into your heart. And if you do, you don't have to stand up and say, I did it. All you have to do is just tell somebody later, or tell them afterwards, Lord. But get that relationship with Christ. And if you've been doing this for a long time, like me, and you've been a Christian, we falter. We fall short. And we could do the same thing. Just start all over. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Ask for your forgiveness of sins. I ask for mine. And I want you to put that robe around me and forgive me for the things I've done where I fall short, Lord. But in the end of the day, Lord, I do love you. We do love you, Lord. And I just ask that you would bless the congregation, Lord, and bless our times, and just give these mothers here a great, beautiful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.